This is our last, I thought it was last week, but we'll definitely finish Psalm 119. This will be our fifth series in it. It is 176 verses long. It's a long song. I don't know how long it would have taken to sing it, but I imagine after they were done, people were quite relieved. The last two paragraphs here in Psalm 119 are the last two letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It is broken up into 22 sections, Psalm 119. It's called an acrostic, but a Hebrew acrostic. We lose a lot of it in the English. It's there to let us know that God wants us to learn His Word, whatever way we can, whether it's an acrostic, or we're singing it, or we're preaching it, or we're just at quiet time in our Bible study. He wants us to learn His Word. We've gone through 20 letters so far. We started with Aleph, then Beth. It's the Aleph Beth of Hebrew. Then from there, it goes all over the place. It doesn't follow our English letters at all after that. It's all over the place, and some of the sounds aren't even there, like J you won't find in their alphabet. In fact, that's even a modern kind of thing that came in the 1500s, the letter J being introduced into the alphabet in English. The last two letters here are quite special. Shin, the sh sound. Then tau, the T sound. The last two letters, 21 and 22. We haven't spent a lot of time in the technical things regarding the symbols and the letters and all the richness that goes with it. Dottie mentioned it last Sunday that, you know, there's a lot that goes to it, and she's very right. You can fall into this and get lost in the Hebrew language, even the symbols themselves and what they represent. There's a very rich history and representation for them. I've touched a little bit. We learned our first Hebrew word, and that was with the first two letters, Aleph and Beth. You put those together, Abba, and you got Abba Father. You're talking about dear daddy. And as Maddie was sharing about his testimony, there he was holding Eliana right in his lap. And I thought that was a great picture of God's love for us. That testimony, God is right there. Terry backed that right up with Zephaniah, talking about that God rejoices over us. And it's just like, I could see that happening right in front of me. So it's very important to allow the Holy Spirit to move upon us in the morning as we gather. And it's a beautiful thing. I really appreciate it. So the letter Shin, S-H sound, brings us to a symbol that actually surprised me. This one you might be familiar with if anybody recognizes this. Does anybody know what this looks like? Mark does.
Star Trek.
Leonard Nimoy, he has a Jewish background, and he remembers the priest doing this, and he carried it into Star Trek, and it's the letter, what we're doing today, it's the letter Shin. It's more than that. It's what the priest would hold up when they were blessing the people. They would hold up that letter because it refers to the name. The word, the name in Hebrew, the name for something, begins with SH. So that's what they're doing right there. They're referring to the name. The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord's face shine upon thee. Lord's countenance come before thee and give you peace and grace. That comes from number 6, a little jumbled the way I just presented it. But that's the thing. God's putting His name on His people. And God told Moses to tell Aaron, this is how you're going to do it. This is how the priests are going to do it. I want my name on my people. He wants that type of relationship where His name is upon them. We call ourselves Christian. That is exactly what is happening. It isn't a club. It isn't an organization. It is an organism. The living God has possessed us. He's put His name upon us. Verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy word. Roger shared from Psalm 118, I believe that was, about it's better to trust in the Lord than into man. And then even said, after that it said, it's better to trust in the Lord than even princes, even the finest of, the doctor so-and-so and all of this, the people that we hold in high regard, and we should, and we esteem highly, it's better to trust in the Lord. It's just putting God in his right place there, that he's above all of these things. So never put somebody above God. Princes have persecuted me. In this case, they weren't doing well for him, whoever has written this long song. They've persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy word. Peter says, when you get persecuted or you go through suffering because of something that you did, you caused it, you're reaping what you sowed. Well, you're reaping what you sowed. There's no reward in that. It's just, that's life, and we all go through that. But if you suffer for God's sake and you're persecuted without a cause, there's great reward. You should be exceedingly glad. Although it hurts like the Dickens, you should be exceedingly glad. There's a real joy to that because there's great reward that comes with that. You're getting to the closest you can in fellowship with Christ and the fellowship of his suffering. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy word. So this week we're having one more presentation of a slide regarding Psalm 119. Just got to boot up the PC here. The other surprise that I had with us getting into this particular letter, Shin, was that it actually meant balance. It actually, one of the representations, as you dig into that symbology, you see the three components that's being given in this letter. It looks like a kind of like a W, and it represents balance. I didn't know that. I hadn't prepared all these sermons ahead of time. I'm taking them in chunks. And so all of that stuff that happened before Psalm 119, when Asher was on that board, remember that story? It's got a little cylinder and a board, and Asher was like really enjoying that. So actually, that's what he got for Christmas, was an actual official balance board. And the first word in Psalm 119 is Asher, blessed are you. Asher means blessed. Balance. But balance was the word. It was just coming strong to me. And here it is, confirmation. Folks, when you're like that, you think, well, maybe it was my thinking, or it appears to be something like that. And then when God confirms it, it's like, it was you all along, God. It was you all along. So glory to God that this letter here shows God wanting and desiring us to have balance in our life. And even the representation of his name is one of balance. You have the center, and then you have the two things on the side here. And every presentation we've been doing has been one of balance. We've been balancing two factors of our understanding of God on both sides, and realizing that our life is right in that narrow way in between. So today, in our final two chapters of Psalm 119, on the left we have that we know and love God. This is the one that we're most familiar with. This brings us to church. This brings us to Bible studies. This causes us to listen to different things of Bible studies online or whatever we do, to buy CDs and so forth, to buy books, to research, to learn about God. The one on the right is a little less known, a little more difficult to describe. This is the one that we're known and loved by God. So represented by the directions here, us knowing and loving God, the arrow going up, and being known and loved by God is the arrow coming down, and God knowing and loving us. Someone might have the question this morning, well, God knows everything about me, doesn't he? Isn't he omniscient? Isn't he omnipresent? Doesn't he know everything about me? Yes, technically. But there's something of a knowing that takes an invitation of us, a bending of the knee, and a confession that God will not violate until we invite him in. So we're going to get into these things. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great spoil or treasure. The guys are there on Wednesday night. If you're a guy, come out 6:30 on Wednesday night. And we're back there sharpening swords. We're back there polishing up in the Word of God. We're learning the Word of God. We're in Matthew talking about the parables. And one of those parables is that the kingdom of God is like this. A man knows there's a treasure in the field, and so he buys the whole field so he can have the treasure. There's different interpretations of that. But that truth allows us to connect to different truths in the Bible. It inspires us. It stimulates us, these parables. And one of the ones I see right here. I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great treasure. Great treasure. So in all of the things that we do, the Bible studies that we attend, the church services that we attend, the efforts there, it's like that. It's that whole field there. But we know there's going to be treasure found. It isn't an aha moment, everything. Our mind isn't blown every second and we're in tears and all of this all the time. But it comes. It comes. The treasure's found. You got to have the whole field, though. We got to have the whole field. You know, it's the drive-through culture that we are in now. We want the burger just the way we want it right now. We want the treasure the way we want it, and we want it now. God says you need the whole field. You need to broaden it out. Another thing that Roger shared was that he puts me in larger places. You know, you're causing to connect to more people, connecting to more resources of God. And in that, you're going to find this treasure. So I think it relates to that parable. Parable connects us to truths in the Bible. It doesn't create its own truths, unique, but it connects us to other truths. It underlines them. It inspires us. It intrigues us. It causes us to digest these truths. I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great treasure. Last week we talked about in the balance equation here, we talked about on the left quantity, and on the right we talked about quality. On the left, the quantity would be my love for you, God, is greater than thousands of gold. Remember that was from Psalm 119. And then on the quality side, Lord, my love for you is better than the finest of gold. Pure gold without dross. Even the gold I'm wearing here is just 14 karat. It's mixed with silver so it doesn't get too soft and fall off. 24 karat is pure gold. But my love for you is more than the finest of gold. So the quality of things here. I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great spoil. There's quality and quantity here in this verse. Great treasure in the word of God. You find something and you know it becomes alive to you and it reaches you and it in your newness in your walk with the Lord, it's like, that's it, I got it. Oh man, I've got it. I've got the treasure. And man, you only got one gold coin. God's got so much more for you to discover and find. Don't lose the forest through the trees. He wants you to invest in the whole field, even though it seems like, man, it's just rows of corn here and some boring cabbage and things like that. It just seems like a field. Buy the whole field. Invest in the whole thing from Genesis to Revelation. When you come out here and there's meetings, we're always in the Word of God, even at prayer meetings. It's called a prayer meeting, but we're in the Word of God. Invest in the whole field. The quality and the quantity. God has it there. It's hidden. He wants you to seek. As Gretchen was sharing, in fact, this is a verse that came alive to her. She didn't give a testimony behind it, but I'll embarrass her right now and tell you there was a testimony behind what she shared about asking and seeking and knocking. As she's doing that, she's praying for her son, and she's looking at that scripture, and all of a sudden the whole page is wet. Well, there's a tear that falls on her and then onto that verse. It became alive to her. The treasure was found in it. It became real to her. It was substantial. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You have something of substance. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. It gives you something to stand on. It's a rock. And Jesus says, you build your life on this rock. And the storms will come and you won't get blown away. You might lose some roofing. You might have a window crack, but you're going to be okay. You build your house upon the rock. Let's continue here. I hate and abhor lying in verse 163. But thy law do I love. How do you know you love his law, the moral judgments of God and what he says is right? Well, one thing is you hate lying. You love truth, you hate lying. One of the things that fascinates me, how simple it is when it gets right down to it, those that are saved and unsaved, Thessalonians describes it as this way. Those that love the truth and those that love, I'm not going to point, those that love the truth and those that love not the truth. How about I point that way? He pointed at me when he said, those that love the truth and those that love not the truth. Interesting how God boils things down for us quite often. It gets rich, it gets complex and intricate, then it gets boiled down real, real simple. I love it. I love that about God and the simplicity, but yet the richness and how intricate it is at the same time. Those that love the truth, it's like, hey, I want my deeds to be made known. Lord God, I'm stepping into the light. That's a vulnerable place to be before God. It's called confession. It's called repentance. I hate and abhor lying. I agree with that. But thy law do I love. I also agree with that, God. Part of what we're going to be talking about today is this knowing and being known. The being known is the more difficult one to understand. And God meets us when we bend our will and confess and submit our lives to him. This is where he knows us. Why is this important? Because you won't go to heaven on this one. You won't get to heaven just on this one. You'll be a tipped over teeter-totter. And you'll hear what some folks will hear in Matthew 7. I never knew you. The term he uses there is gnosko. It's the same term that is used in the beginning of Matthew where it says Joseph never knew Mary. He never had sexual relations with her until after Jesus was born. He's saying this isn't happening. People are doing this kind of stuff. They're knowing God. They're in awe of his word. They're going to church. They love the truth seven times a day, as we'll see in a few verses here. But I don't know them. I don't know them. So let's get there. Let's understand what it means to be known by God and not neglect that in the balance of our walk in Christianity. This first set of passages, first eight verses here in Shin, mostly have to do with the left side of the equation. Rejoicing at thy word and hating lying, loving his law. Seven times it says in verse 164, a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Seven times a day do I praise thee. This guy's girl, whatever, is doing great. Knowing and loving God. Doing great. Seven times a day sounds great. More than I'm doing. I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That prayer, remember, of the priest that God wants to put his name upon us has to do with God shining his face, his countenance rising up. And just God looking at you, just God looking at you gives you peace. Everything just falls away. When you have that face of God in front of you, we want to be known by him and we want to know him. We want to have his countenance before us. We want to have our lives exposed to him. We want to become vulnerable to him, not be afraid of the light, to allow our deeds to be examined completely. We're going to get to a psalm coming up, I think it's 139, where it says, "Search me, O God." That is God knowing you. Yes, he knows technically. He knows your personality. He knows your name. He knows every cell in your body. He knows everything about you in that way. But there's one way that takes an invitation. One way that takes an invitation. That is to invite him into that place of confession where you're in agreement with his word. Hold on. We're going to get to more of that. If it doesn't make sense yet. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Another sign of you loving his law is that things don't offend you easily. Because you love, you know, you're situated, you're on the rock, you're not going to get knocked off so easily. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul has kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let's take a look at knowing and loving God and some of the things that we've already encountered here. Verse 161 was being in awe of his word, knowing and loving God. Verse 162 is rejoicing at his word. I'm excited to get into his word. I'm excited to get to a Bible study. Usually it's the other way around. I'm excited once I'm done, to be truthful, right? Because, you know, that's when the treasure's been discovered, and a lot of times you have the laziness of getting out there. Hating lies and loving the truth. This is knowing and loving God. Seven times a day, knowing and loving God. Great peace and hope from his law and commandments. Knowing and loving God. Loving his testimonies exceedingly. Very obviously, knowing and loving God. Look where 168 brings us to. It brings us into a transition. All my ways are before thee. This is now speaking to the right side of the page up there. This is speaking to God knowing you. All my ways are before thee. In Matthew 7, it discusses people that are doing all this left side stuff, which is good, and it sounds great. We're doing great works in the name of Jesus. Casting out demons, building hospitals, all this stuff, all mighty works. Yet they're missing something. God knowing them. He goes on to say about doing the Father's will. Where's the disconnect in all of the things they're doing? Is they're not in alignment with God's will. And when we're known by God, we're falling into his will. We're following his will. Our will is becoming in submission to his. This is where confession comes. This is where the power of speaking comes. All my ways are before thee. Confession, honesty, submission, a bending of the knees. Here's another good way to look at it. On the left side of the page there, knowing and loving God, who bended the knee here? God did. God broke at the knee. The meaning of the word blessing is a breaking of the knee. And when it says God bless thee, he's breaking his knees. He's getting down and humbling himself to man and revealing himself to mankind. A great example is Jesus breaking his knees and washing the disciples' feet. You get it? This is what God has done for us. He's provided his word for us. He sent prophets. He's done all of these works. Jesus coming to the cross, all of these things. Knowing and loving God. God has broken at the knee. He's blessed us, his creation, even though we've gone astray in sinful mankind. God has broken at the knee and he's come to serve. It's not blasphemous. That's exactly what's happened. You go look up the word blessed. When God blesses, he's breaking. He's breaking something into his creation. All of these things are knowing and loving God. God breaking this side is us breaking. So there's a simple way. If we want to break it down really simple, we're breaking at the knee on the right side. This is where we're known and loved by God. Gretchen's going to sing a song at the end of this, and Torrin Wells. He was listening to a sermon by Timothy Keller. Timothy Keller was saying, you know, to be known by God and not loved is fear. Just to be known. He knows everything about you, but he doesn't love you. That's fear and trepidation. Just to be loved by God but not known is superficial. It's superficial. Just to be known by God but not loved is superficial. So he put Timothy Keller's sermon together and came up with that song that you'll hear in a little bit here. All my ways are before thee. What's bending here, God or the man? Man is. This is where God meets us and knows us. He will not force himself on your will. God will not force himself on your will. He's broken into creation. He's given us great things, but he will not force himself in that one area. It takes an invitation. It takes a breaking of your knee to allow God to come to know you in this place of humility. Why do you think it's why God says you got to humble yourself and become like a child to enter in the kingdom of God? What does that really mean? You're breaking your knees down. You're shortening your legs. You're becoming a child. You're becoming reduced and vulnerable before God. Why? So he can know you. You're submitting your will under his. And you're becoming one with his word. The next tau really brings this side of the equation to bear. We don't need to spend a great amount of time on knowing and loving God. We invest 99% of our time there. Tau is going to bring the other part of the equation even more clear to us. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. You remember, you can hear with your ears, but you understand with your eyes. It becomes visible to you. Let my supplication come before thee. That's the asking of God. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word. For all thy commandments are righteous, are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. All of these have to do with us meeting God, us bending at the knee. The crying, the asking, the uttering, the speaking is the vehicle for that. You'll see the illustrations above here to help us. Knowing and loving God, a lot of that takes place with the ear. A lot of that takes place with the eye. We start to understand things, and then we walk it out. There's some feet right there. Over on the right side of the equation, it's what we speak. What we speak. Where do you get that? Well, we're getting that right here. Crying, you mentioned, look at that in 169. Asking, the supplication. Uttering in 171. And speaking in 172. All of these things are the confession. We're coming to a place of union with God in our speech. Where is this most emphatically importantly used? It's used in Romans 10. If you believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, and you confess with your feet, no, your ears, because you're listening to it, your eyes, because you don't get it, your mouth. Your mouth. That word confession, we lose in the English, and it's caused a dangerous misconception in the Christian church. And that's it. If you just speak words, that's what it is. It's like a magic prayer. No, it isn't. If we bring the Greek out, we'll understand this is a much more rich word. It's homologeo. Legeo is to speak. Homogeneous comes into the oneness of it. It's becoming one with the word of God. You're becoming one. A vow. Kelsey and Caleb are going to enter into homologeo. They're going to give a vow, a promise to each other. It's of that magnitude and even more. This is where God knows us. This is where we're known by God. This is where the seed of eternity takes deep root in the soil of humanity, right here, is when we confess that Jesus is Lord. It happened to Paul the Apostle. Before he was Paul the Apostle, he was Saul. Big, mighty Saul. He's a Pharisee. He had it going. He had a 401k, all this stuff. He had it going, man. He was respected. All of the stuff that goes with that, all the accolades, and that was that he's persecuting the Christians, doing God a favor. And all of that, just mad all the time, and let's get rid of these, you know, we've been there doing things, cutting ears off. there he is on the road to Damascus. And he sees a great light. Who art thou, Lord? He confessed with his mouth, this is the Lord. What do you want me to do, Lord? Was the second thing he said. What is he doing? He's bending at the knee. He's breaking his will for God's will. God knew him in that moment. Looking at this Tao word, verse 176, I'm like, wow, 176 verses. This last verse has got to be like fireworks, man. It's got to be the grand finale. It's got to be great. So I'm looking at it. I've gone astray. Oh, man. Like a lost sheep. Couldn't even be a lost tiger. It's got to be a sheep. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. God, find me. Seek thy servant. AKA, find me, God. Find me. I don't even know how to make my way back. For I do not forget. I know who I am. I don't forget thy commandments. But I'm somewhere. I don't know where I'm at. God, find me. It's a great prayer. It is a grand finale. The more time I spent on it, the more powerful it became. Looking at that. The confession happening. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. God, find me. What's happening? There's a bending of the knee. God is knowing you in that moment. Romans 12 talks about present your body as a living sacrifice. So you can discern the will of God. God can know you. When you've got the will of God, this covers in Matthew 7 as well. This is the difference, folks. It's that people hear my voice and they follow me. Jesus saying that. This is the difference. Not doing all the stuff. All the Christian stuff. Not doing all the church stuff. Those things are great, but if you're not in the will of God, it's all out of balance. Those are hard words. I wouldn't say them if it wasn't clear in the scriptures saying people casting out demons, doing wonderful works, going to hell. Can we take that page out of the Bible? No, because Jesus wants to know you. That's the point. This isn't to make Christianity harder and get it even reduced down to a smaller population because everybody's mad at each other. No, it's because God wants to know you. He wants you to get this point. If you're not doing his will and hearing his voice, you've missed the whole point. God broke his knee for man. We're breaking our knee to know him. Confession is a powerful aspect of this agreement with God's word. Homologeo. Logeo, speech. Homologous, like homogeneous milk. It's become one. You become one with the word of God. You've submitted to it. You can't fool God in this area. You can fool a lot of people on the left side and you can look Christian. You can't fool anybody here, let alone God. This is the submission of your will. This is the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life, is submit your will to God. Don't play phony with me. Because I know this is the hardest thing for all of us. Is to submit our free will to his, to bend at the knee. These are strong words today because it speaks to a truth that is so important that our eternity hinges upon it. The confession of the mouth, the coming to an agreement, becoming one with that truth. God, I believe you are Lord. You are Lord Jesus Christ. I'm coming to that place of submitting myself. I'm breaking into that. I'm breaking my will, my body, everything. I'm bending at the knees, bending my head, whatever that means physically. But it's my mind, my body, my soul. Everything about me is breaking before God so he can know me in this area. Nothing like a practical illustration, right? This is great. It's easy to preach this stuff, right? But to live it, so we live in a glass house, and you're welcome to view our lives as we struggle on. And here's one of the things of this knowing and being loved by God and this confession and the healing that comes with it and the power that comes with it. Constipation is relieved. It's gross, but it's real. It was spiritually constipated. You're not very effective when you're going around, oh. Man, confess that you're a sinner. It's not just a, do it because God wants it. Do it so you can get healed. Do it so you can be what he wants you to be. You get all that junk out of your life. This is how God knows you in that submission, that surrender to him. So I was asking Gretchen about last week's sermon. This was just this past week. And I said, you know, I talked about that small despise thing, my inferiority complex of being short. I brought that up and someone asked me, what did you think about that when I talked? Oh, I fell asleep before I fell asleep before I got to that part. Okay. So with this, flesh rose up, and I didn't respond back. I just internalized it, and it's like I was just asking her about something I already feel bad about, being small and despised, and that's what it is. You know, that's what it is. It just, she doesn't take me seriously. Nobody takes me seriously. And yeah. So, you know, I'm dealing with that stuff and at the same time knowing, Paul, this isn't right. These thoughts are not right. This is ridiculous. This isn't God. These are lies. At the same time, feeling it. All right. God, this is wrong. Crucify it in the name of Jesus. And this is, and I'm down at the, and the wood stove, she's upstairs, and you know, and this is burned up, and you just rebuke it, and all of this stuff. No. I'm believing in my heart, but it's not confessed in my mouth. And it has to happen with her. Confessing to God and confessing one to another. James talks about that in other places. So I had to come back up here. This is very difficult for a guy to do, to talk about feelings, to talk about constipation, that kind of thing. I know she's going to take it wrong. She's going to be, you know, she's going to have all kinds of reactions to it. She's not going to understand where I'm coming from. So my first words to her were, "Find me." She had no idea what I was saying. But this verse became alive to me. The last verse, the grand finale in Psalm 119. Find me. I don't know my way back to you. The oneness that we had is broken right now. I don't know how to get back to you. Find me. The confession started to roll out of that. I didn't even know what I was saying. But this became alive to me, and the understanding of it was happening in real time. And I said, that really, I struggle with that. When you said you fell asleep and you never went back and listened to it, that hurt. And I struggled with it. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've had feelings about you, like she doesn't care. She thinks other people are, and she exalts other people. You know the stuff that goes through your mind?
Yeah.
You start building that case of how lousy you are. And you know, she likes other, you know, other preachers, and she likes others. She's probably listening to some. I'm sorry I'm like that. But that is what happened. And I need to talk about it. And I need to get that out. This is hard for me to tell her, let alone all you guys. So, but hopefully for the glory of God and for the benefit of everyone, find me. I'm in a, and I told her, I'm vulnerable right now. I'm vulnerable. I just made myself look like a cheesy person that's looking for a pat on the back, and I'm vulnerable right now. I'm in your hands. And so the ball was in her court. And she just said, I knew you were like, you, I've been waiting for this. No. Forgiveness, confession, oneness. Homologeo, one again. One again. The constipation's not there. The ineffectiveness is gone. It was gone. All the rebuking, all the Bible verses, all the left side stuff of knowing these things wasn't there. It was allowing God to know me in this tender moment of confession. She knew me, God knew me in this moment of the bending of the knee, of my will and my pride and all of that coming all down. God knew me. All my ways are before thee. Find me, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's finish with taking a few examples of from Ephesians. Let's turn to Ephesians and look at a few examples. So you get this idea of God breaking into us and us breaking into God by that bending of the knees, the submission of our wills, agreement with his word. In Ephesians, we can underline all the word hath in there or has done. Verse 3, that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. He has chosen us in him. These are all left side things, folks. These are all God bending at the knee, Jesus washing our feet, dying on the cross for us. This is all God breaking for us and blessing us. He's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He's predestined us in verse 5 to the adoption of children. He has made us accepted in the beloved. He has redeemed us through his blood. He's abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself. God has broken, he's bended the knee for us to know him. Now it's our turn. Our turn. Ephesians 3 is where we finish. Verse 14. For this cause, everything I just spoke of in Ephesians 1, for this cause, God breaking into us, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with a might in his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of God, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Folks, the love of Christ passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all fullness of God. It happens here, it happens here. The fullness of God in that love that passes knowledge happens in that very narrow path of listening for his voice, desiring, panting for it. Lord, teach me and show me your way. I surrender my will to you. I lay my life down to you today. I pick up my cross, Lord Jesus Christ, and follow you, denying myself. Father God, as we sing this last song, I pray if there isn't one that's bended at the knee in here this morning, Lord Jesus Christ, they would discover that beauty. They would discover that new world, that newfound faith, Lord God, that new dimension of love, Lord Jesus, of becoming one with you. Hallelujah. Amen.
And loved by you.
Blessing, and that is because God wants his name upon you. And he does, as Terry read, wants to rejoice over you. He loves you. He doesn't want you to be sold short, ripped off. He wants you to have the fullness of joy, knowing him and him knowing you. I thank you, Father God, and I pray that blessing, Lord God, they would have the peace, Lord, of your countenance over them, Lord. They would have the grace of your light in your face, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for this time that we've had together in your word and the power that we've discovered in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.